Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Hi, Holland. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, thank you.
I'm so excited to hear your story today, but before we get started, how did you first find Organize 365?
Oh, that's like I said in my questionnaire, it's the old age-old question, the chicken or the egg came first. My son had he had gone through a medical emergency in February of 2020, and we had all this medical stuff. And he was a preemie and he had all these appointments when he was first born. And we'd only been married like a year. And so we had two households combining and it was just a complete mess. And we had to keep track of all those medications and I just couldn't take care of it all. And so I just started searching for something. And I found podcasts and then I landed on you and then I went all access like 2 days later. I'm like, it sounds all good. Just give it to me all.
That's how I was when my dad got sick and then I became power of healthcare and then power of attorney and then executor of the estate. And I'm like, I don't even know what these words mean. And I'm Googling like, you know, checklist, binder, person there. And there's There's no research result. So,
Everything I was finding, they were like, oh, you need this and this and this. I'm like, no, I don't have time to reinvent the wheel. Somebody's got to have done this already. And so I was like, I just want to put the information straight into my binders or, you know, whatever. And I was just like, this is it. I'm done.
Well, I'm so glad we came up in the Google search result. So were you a podcast listener before that or no?
Not really. I think what had happened is I had, you know, a one-year-old at the time and I couldn't really read books and I couldn't really sit down to read websites. So I'm like, okay, I can stick an AirPod in and I can listen one ear and do stuff the other side and nobody knows any different. I can go about doing household work and taking care of him and everything else. And I was also doing it on my commutes. At the time I was commuting about 30 minutes each way. So I would listen to different things either at work or because we worked in a very open area. So you always had headphones on.
totally the same. Like when I had that 25 hours with the driving every single week, I was like, okay. And I like just plowed through podcasts and content about all kinds of things. Cause I was never at home. When I was home or I fell asleep, because I love to read, but I just got so tired. I would just fall asleep while I was reading things.
Yeah. And just this past summer, I've actually gone back into reading hardback books. But I have a rule. I only read one chapter a night. And I count how many pages are in that chapter before I will start reading. Yeah.
I'm starting to do that too. And I think that's also not just your phase of life. I think that that has happened because of the pandemic. It's been much harder for me to read books since the pandemic started. I think it's just because our brains are more overloaded with the amount of change that they're processing.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit harder for me than it used to be. And I used to read like a book a week. So...
Well, and I never would read, and I hated reading as a child, especially with my reading disability and all the things that happened when I was a kid. I didn't, and it was just until it was like, okay, I need to be a good example for my son. So now I'm like, fine, I'll read, you know, because he's seen me read hardback books, not an iPad or something. So
yeah, it's amazing what we'll do for our kids, right?
Yeah.
So who does live in your house? You mentioned a son. You mentioned a husband.
Yeah. So my husband and I were married. It'll be 4 years in November. He's 49. I'm 43. We found each other very late in life. And first year we were married, he got laid off after 21 years. And 2 weeks later, we found out we were expecting our son.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it has been nonstop since. So, yeah, we've been through about everything. So then we also have a cat and a dog. So it's definitely been a whirlwind of, you know, trying to get everybody calmed down and everything like that. So,
you know, and as you get married and start your family later in life, there are pluses and minuses to that, right? Like Mm-hmm. Most of my cousins have had their children in their 40s, and I had mine in my 20s. And so I've observed this quite a bit. And the pluses are they don't tend to buy all the baby stuff that I did. They tend to be a little bit more laid back. They tend to be more like the babies are a little bit more like miniature adults versus like they're around everybody else. It's got somebody that's drooling. So they just kind of come to adult functions. It's a little different. But also like your career is established and you've mm-hmm. already traveled and you're probably already a homeowner. And some mm-hmm. of the things that you're navigating all the time when you have your children younger or get married younger, you don't have when you're older, but the thing that you do have when you're younger and not so much when you're older is the energy.
Yes. Yes. And people are like, you drink how many monsters a day? I'm like, well, I've had three, but yeah, I'm okay. Like I'm functioning. I'm still getting everything I need to do at work. And, yeah. And, you know, and you mentioned about, you know, being more laid back. We dropped the kid off at school and we're like, hey, just don't kill him. We're good. You know, he's your problem now. We'll see you at 5 or 6 if we're doing happy hour, you know?
Yeah.
But your system has allowed me to look forward into what we're going to do. So like I've planned the next 4 months and I don't have to worry about it because it's planned.
Well, and with a kid that's 2.5, 4 months from now means different clothes, different developmental stages, different mm-hmm. foods. They like
preschool.
Everything changes every 4 months until your child turns 5.
Like, yep.
Don't even bother planning more than 120 days.
Yeah. And you say take a nap if you have a young one. And I'm a big proponent of that. I'm like, I don't call it a nap because people at work kind of frown upon it. If you say, I'm going to go lay down and take a nap. I'm like, I'm having a brain reset.
Yeah.
Because most everybody works on the Pacific side, time zone. And so then, I'm like by 4 o'clock, my brain's fried and it's only 2 o'clock out there. So, and I get up like at 5 a.m. So I'm like, I have to have a brain reset or I can't function after 4. So.
Yeah. With Grayson being around, I am coming home and I'm at least resting. Like mm-hmm. I'm giving myself a 30-minute rest time. If I want to scroll Instagram, that's fine. I literally lay on my bed with the door shut and yep. no one comes in there because then I'm staying up much later than I used to helping Abby with the baby. And I do like, I'm not getting as much rest as I did before. And I just need like not to be thinking about work and not yep. to be thinking about anything else. If I lay there and close my eyes, I usually do fall asleep. Just like with your 4-year-old, when you put them on their bed and you're like,
yep.
you just have to stay here till the timer goes off, but you don't have to sleep. And you come in and they're passed out.
I,
you know?
I set my timer and I know exactly when my next meeting is. I've never missed a meeting. I'm very like, okay, when can I schedule this in?
Yeah.
On my calendar. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely all for brain resets during the day.
Oh, they're the best. Okay. So you mentioned that you've had multiple medical emergencies mm-hmm. with your son. And that's kind of what got you started on this getting organized kick. Do you want to go into that a little bit more? Or were yeah. there times where you felt like you were organized in the past, or were you organized before you had your son? Or no, this is something you've always kind of.
Well, I think I was able to keep everything, you know, kind of in my brain and I could function. But at the time, the pregnancy was a big surprise. And then I had a lot of complications. He was born 6 weeks early. So he was born at 34 weeks. He was in NICU. So I had to immediately leave work before a high stress job that, you know, I was trying to do. Then he was in NICU. And then 4 months later, he was hospitalized with RSV.
Oh, wow.
So in February, that next February, so he was almost a year old, we had an EpiPen scare. So then we had to carry an EpiPen. So, now I'm like, okay, I have an overnight bag. I have his medical thing. We're good to go. And so when we had to go to the hospital and ER in August, I'm like, bring it out. I'm ready.
You permanently have that hospital bag ready to go.
Yeah, we do. And it's in the garage and it's just a grab and go. And my parents are like, you have really overprepared. I'm like, dude, I've been through this so many times. I'm done.
You know, if you like, because we went to the hospital 5 times before Abby yeah. was truly in labor. And I did. I just started grabbing the bags because, okay, so you grab the bag, you go, you end up home 3 hours later. Great. When you grab the bag and you're there for 7 hours, cause they do an extra fetal, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And you have nothing to eat and you have no water and you don't have your nighttime meds and you don't yep. have like, you know, and you're freezing cause now you're in a hospital and you're wearing sandals and you want your warmer clothes. I'm like, no, I would get to the point where she would get checked in and they always would take her back in triage. Mm-hmm. And then they would say, we'll come get you in the waiting room. I'm like, not a problem. I would go in the bathroom. Yep. I would put on my uniform that I was wearing when she had the baby. And then when they got me, I went back and I was in warm pants and a long sleeve shirt and my dance go shoes that I wanted. And I just kept folding that outfit back up and putting it back in the bag, but I was happier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the funny thing is I look back and I'm like, why was I waiting to do a hospital? Because we didn't have a hospital bag ready. And I had been in the hospital 2 days prior to that, him being born, because of high blood pressure. And so I was like, okay, by that time I'm like, just get the car seat in.
Yeah.
And then that morning I woke up. So I had chorioscintesis. And it's an infection with the baby. And so they had to do emergency C-section the day of his baby shower. So I'm telling you that I could tell you a whole book about this. I mean, this
maybe you will write a book.
Oh my gosh, this kid has put us to the ringer. Greatest door in our life, but we're just like, okay, this is what we're doing now. We just kind of keep rolling with the punches, but it just got to be too much. So in that same year he had the medical emergency, I was going through a major merger at work. Mm. And I reached out to
me because you're in your 40s. So you're like the height of your career.
Well, yeah, I was in a lead position in my career. I was I worked in telecom. And at that time I was doing two jobs at the same time, two totally different jobs. But I would do them parallel, and we were going through a merger. So I worked for T-Mobile and Sprint merged with T-Mobile. I worked for Sprint. Yeah. So that happened the same year as the pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
And then after the merger, we were going to find out if we had jobs or not. So Monique has been with me through all that. And and I'm like, Monique, I have a job. And she's like, yes. I'm like, oh, Monique, I've changed jobs again. She goes, what are you doing now? I'm like, I don't know.
She might know better than you. So if you ask her, she's probably like, oh yeah, Holland is doing well. Yeah,
exactly. Because I've had five jobs in the past year. And so I've just kind of, I have a workbox. I do everything but your certification program. And it's just kind of funny because I'm just like, okay, I've learned that I'm going to do it my way and then I'm going to do it Lisa's way and it's going to work better. So I'm just going to learn just to do it Lisa's way from start and not have to do all this rework later on.
Okay. So side rabbit trail a little bit. You have a workbox. You're clearly in a digital company. I mean, telemarketing. It's all done on the computer. So that is the number one question we get about workboxes, especially from people who have not listened to the podcast or have no idea who Lisa Woodruff is. We're now going into companies and we're presenting this idea of a Sunday basket and a Friday workbox for hybrid work-life fusion and really to externalize your executive functioning of your brain. And they're like, but we're in a paperless company. Like, we don't understand how this is going to help us. So what would you say to them?
So it's really funny because I think I brought that up to you the last time. I'm like, you're doing agile planning and you don't even realize it with your planning days.
Okay. Yes. Please explain to me what I'm doing.
So every quarter we do, we work in agile, safe methodology. So every quarter we do PI planning. It's a planning increment, which is a quarter. So we are in the last week of our quarter for quarter three. So we plan all of our work for quarter four. And we plan anywhere, and you have unplanned work, we plan anywhere between 20 and 30%, depending on whatever's kind of going on, we feel like. And that's just a bigger range that we have of unplanned work. So that means, like, I got two projects today, that's unplanned work. So we buffer room for unplanned work, which is what I hear from you, I think that's what you do.
Yeah.
You have a lot of unplanned work. So now I kind of bring that over to the house. I say, okay, we have a 20, but yes, we are very, they want us to be very digital, but I print everything off. I write on sticky notes. I had right before this meeting, I had four, I mean, my box is right here. I have four boxes. Don't ask me why. I don't even have a side business and I have your green little binder. Cause I was like, oh, that's cool. Cause eventually I'm going to have a small business and I'll forget that she'll have it on her website. So I'm just going to go ahead and get it now. But no,
I love you.
but you know, that's, and then my husband's like, oh, I think I want to start a business. I'm like, here you go. and here's your workbox, and here's your store, and I'll set up your DNS and your domains and your email hosting, because I used to do all that stuff. Anyways, I write everything down. I have to. I cannot keep it in my brain anymore. I used to keep it all up here.
Yep.
I can't do it anymore. I'm too old for that. I have too many. I'm trying to keep up, make sure, you know, the daycare will send out little notices. Oh, he's just started napping. I'm like, oh crap, he started napping an hour late. He's going to be cranky tonight. So then it's like, okay, that, and then now I pivoted to this and that. And so it's like, how do you pivot so quickly? The workbox is how you pivot. Mm-hmm. The D11 label maker.
Yeah.
Love that thing. I've been using that for probably 6 months now because it doesn't leave the residue, because I change labels about.
I don't know what the D11 label maker is.
Yeah, you're using it.
Is it the Dyma? Oh, is it the little? Okay, yes. What the is D11. It with me?
Yes, the D11.
So this, I search NimBot.
Yeah,
it's Amazon.
The same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the D11 series.
Okay, it's like a $50 label maker,
yeah.
But it can go in your purse or whatever. And
it's the size of a cell phone.
Perfect labels that just go right on your slash pockets. And, so it's expensive.
The great thing is that the labels don't stick.
They peel right off.
Right. And I change labels so much that I was handwriting them with an erasable pen because I would change them like every 3 to 4 days. And every 2 weeks, my purple changes.
Okay.
So
that's good for people to hear. She's changing her labels every couple of weeks, you guys.
And I
do it every quarter.
Yeah. And I can't. Well, so because I do planning and I have. So I work on a tool called Jira, the Atlassian suite. I'm a geek. My husband's a geek. We wired our house. Anyways, I'm a super geek. And I do process improvements in a tool. All your projects that you would do, I do it on the computer, but I make the forms and I make it look pretty and automate it. I had two projects come in this morning. They're going to production tomorrow night.
So that slash pocket's only a couple of days.
Right. I just made it like an hour ago. It may not even get a label right now. It has a sticky note on.
Yes.
But only my purple folders are production. So purple is for production. So it's anything that's going to production the next 2 weeks. So we start a sprint on a Wednesday and we end 2 weeks later on a Tuesday. And so I flip every 2 weeks.
Okay. So you are making a slush pocket for something that's going to last 36 hours. And I can hear what people are saying. Why not just put that on a to-do list and then cross it out?
Because I have, this is what it looks like right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So she's showing a slash pocket that is full of notes.
Yeah. It's just, it's the big, they're not 3x5. They're huge sticky notepads. Yeah. They're so post-its.
That's the whole thing. It's not a to-do list item because it has so much information that has to be processed in 36 hours. Plus you don't want to lose it. Plus you don't want to lose your pile. So I think people get really hung up on, they want to create a workbox that doesn't need to be changed constantly and that they could just use. But the reality is we process through a lot of information very quickly and you don't need to create a perfect Sunday basket or workbox where the labels are going to stay. The labels can change all the time because your projects and your life changes all the time.
Absolutely. And with me, like 2 days ago, I didn't know I was going to have that ticket, and it may get delayed. I'm really trying to push it to the 7th because that's our normal deployment, but I have A weeks and B weeks now. How you said, you were saying something about how, you know, you may have an A schedule and a B schedule. We have A weeks and B weeks depending on if I'm on a deployment or not. Because I work Tuesday and Thursday nights if I have deployments that week. So it's kind of
interesting.
Yeah. So my schedule, like this week, I'm really off because this is supposed to be an A week, but I had to deployment Monday night because the iPhone launch was last week. We were on a freeze.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yes, I got in line. My kids are like, all about phones here yet? The phones here. I'm like, well, we got business.
Let me know when you get it. Because I know all about iPhones. I worked iPhone launches for several years.
Yeah, we've gotten all but a couple. By the time people listen to this, they'll be like, what are you worried about?
Well, whatever.
At the time of this recording, it was like a week or 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks.
The pre-launch, the pre-order was 2 weeks ago. And the order was last week because we were in a freeze. So we do what's called like a software freeze where you can't launch anything because it's kind of like our Black Friday. Think of it that way. It's so big.
For cell phone producers.
Yes.
Carriers. Yeah.
Or like Walmart or anybody else that sells that item. It's huge.
And the way they were released to us is certain phones went out because like, so Joey took the order of what everybody in the family wanted. And of course he and Abby wanted the biggest iPhone Maxes. I'm like, I'm not carrying around a mini iPad. And so their phones are the most delayed. Like the other ones, Greg's phone came like instantly. Mm-hmm. This was basically free. We just got him a 13. Yeah. But the more you want it, the longer it took to get it.
Yeah. And I would definitely say, like, look at whoever your cell phone provider is. All of them usually offer one streaming device. So make sure you're not paying for that streaming device if they offer it to you for free.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, it is worth having a talk with, you know, go into the store, have them look at your bill. I've done that a couple of times and I'm like, wow, like what they could do is amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah,
we love hearing about those work boxes. We actually, in our marketing, I'm now trying to, instead of planning monthly doesn't work. So we're kind of planning like in 3-week sprints now, and we're calling them sprints. And so the team knows about 3 weeks. And I'm like, okay, so I need to be working on the next 3 weeks, but I hadn't thought of making them A and B. That makes total sense. Then I can have like, okay, this one is in the team and this one I'm getting ready. Okay, now you guys have this one now. Ah, love it. I'm
going to do that I have a big wall calendar upstairs for my husband. And it's so as we go in and out of the garage door, we can see at a glance what's going on. And I wrote on there in pink because we're magenta. A week, B week. And then I write my dry runs and my deployments on there. So he knows like what days I have to work late and which ways, which are A and B's. And so like one of the things I've really advocated is getting somebody to clean the house.
Yes.
And they come on the A weeks because B weeks, I have a lot of demos. So they can come anytime during the day on a Wednesday, and I do it on Wednesday so that it's in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Like your meeting days, right? Yeah. So it will never be skipped. And
exactly.
It will never be skipped. And it's on an A week so that I'm never caught getting a demo. Because I usually have 5 to 6 demos, meetings, hour-long meetings of anything that's going to production. With a new feature, anything that I write, a script I write.
Okay. So what I love about so far this conversation, or what you could be taking from this is, you cannot plan if someone's going to have to go to the hospital or how long you'll be at the hospital once you're there, but you can proactively have a bag of everything you would want ready for when that happens. Like you are always in control of some pieces of your life, but not all pieces of your life. So you are not in control of the deployments, how easily they go off, all of that kind of things in B week, but you could put on A week, making sure your house is optimized and clean. So you don't have to stress out about that when you are in B week. And that is really what you learn as you start looking at your home, like it is a business. How can you take the things you know you have to do anyway and make them occur at the right time with the right frequency and be as planned as possible for the unexpected that's going to happen? We're not pretending like we're not going to have unexpected or that we're happy about going to a hospital, but there are some things that you can plan and prepare for. Like the holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, you're probably going to travel. You know, you're going to eat foods you don't normally eat. You know, you're going to be out later than normal. So because of that, what can you do that will make your house run more smoothly, will make everyone's GI work as best as possible? Maybe you add in rest times on the weekend when you wouldn't normally over the holidays, just so you don't get overloaded, especially if you're an introvert. Like, how do you build those things in?
I'm a huge introvert, which people are really surprised. With a toddler, you have to plan it out. And even with daylight savings coming up.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's a killer.
In a month. Okay. Here's what we learned at NICU, because he was in NICU when it happened, when we sprung forward an hour. They changed his feedings and the nap time by 15 minutes increments through the whole day. And that's how you get them reset. You either go forward or backwards, depending on the time zone. So tell Abby that. I was going to tell you
that. And Abby is hugely affected by the hour shift still to this day for 2 weeks. It takes her 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It takes us all a little bit of time, but it really has always messed with her more than any of the rest.
So for her, you can even say shift it by 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Even 2 weeks before, do everything 5 minutes, a little bit incremental.
Oh, please. He'll be such a little baby. Like, it won't really matter yet. He won't even be 3 months.
Oh, no, no. If he's on any kind of schedule, because we were in NICU, we were feeding every 3 hours nap time. I mean, he was on NICU, got him on a schedule and we kept him there.
Okay.
And I was like, how do we do a time change? And they said, oh, that's easy. We just do 15 minute increments. We just move it up a rack. And that's how you get them readjusted to the hour time change.
Can't you just change your whole schedule by an hour? That's what I usually did.
Like, you could, but that throws the baby off. Remember,
no. I keep the baby schedule the same. I change my schedule. Like, so if the baby went to bed at, I don't know which would fall back. So if the baby went to bed at 8 and let's say 8 o'clock is now 7 o'clock, I would just pretend 8 o'clock is now 7 o'clock. Like, me, whatever we used to do at 8, we do it at 7.
I could do,
I know this is why I'm not good at this. I could
spend one day and say, okay, we're moving 15 minutes forward on everything. And then by the end of the
next day is another 15 minutes.
And no,
another
so,
takes.
Yeah. So let's say the first feeding's at his feeding was at 7. So they'd started at 6:45. And then the next one, it was supposed to be at 11:40. So then 3 hours later, it was what, 9:45. Mm-hmm. And so then it would be 9:30.
Okay.
And then at 11:30 would have been his, or 1:30 would have been his next one, or two, whatever 3 hours later is. And they move it up 15 minutes.
So and by the end of the day, they've moved the whole thing.
And they don't even realize it, because 15 minutes is you can just keep, it's so easy to keep them up for 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. We're doing it. I'll report back.
This came from NICU, that we learned so much. People are like, wasn't having a baby in NICU hard? I'm like, well, yeah, but they kind of weaned us into parenthood. You know, it was great because I got to go home and sleep for 2 weeks, you know, and go back during the day and recover from my C-section by the time he came back. So, you know, it was a great learning experience. Yeah.
All right. When was the first time that you noticed that something was organized that had not been organized before?
Well, I'll tell you, this past weekend, I lost my wallet. there's been so many random things, like checks that I used to lose money all the time. I'm notorious in my family for losing money. And now I don't lose it. I don't lose paperwork, medical bills, things that have to be paid. You know, that's my safe place. I always have a safe place, but I don't know where my safe place is because I forget where it is. and now I know the safe place is always the Sunday basket.
And has your husband noticed a difference?
And he's finally getting on board. Finally. He has kind of comical. He's like, I don't know why you have all this. I don't know why you're doing this, but it seems to make you happy. So we're just going to go with it. I'm like, if I see paper sitting around and it's yours, it goes in your folder or your clipboard. And he's like, okay, now I can find things. So, but yeah, this past weekend, I lost my wallet. We were out doing some family things. I must have dropped it or something. You know, in the past, it would have been this huge deal. But I'm like, okay, no, I pulled everything out, made a slash pocket, didn't even label it, just threw everything in there. I had the marriage license. I had the social security card. I had the cards I had copied that I had in my financial binder. And I went through and circled the four cards that I missed. I was missing because I already had them photocopied. I was able to do the police report online. And then on Monday morning, I had an appointment at 8:50 to get a new license. And the credit cards were already blocked and got new cards. So, I mean, it's just like, okay.
Again, the unexpected is going to happen, but you had a plan for it.
Well, and I didn't really have a plan, but it was like a bump in the road, but it didn't throw me off the road. Mm. And it was just like, okay, we're doing this now. Okay. Well, let's just throw everything in thing. We've got everything in there. And 2 weeks early, we'd purchased a car. So, you know, it was like.
Just the next thing.
Yeah. And they were surprised when I showed up to buy the car, I had my marriage license because my car was in my maiden name. And so I keep a copy of my marriage license in my ICE folder in my car. And they were like, well, you wouldn't happen to have your marriage license, which I'm like, oh yeah, here you go. And they're like, of course you do.
I'm like, I love it. So has anything happened as you've been getting organized that you did not expect to get from being organized?
Oh, we're getting rid of so much stuff. So I don't really do the 100-day program.
That's fine.
I watch everything. I absorb it. But I kind of use energy time management to kind of go with the flow. So I do much better in rage purges. So about every 6 months, we'll do a rage purge around the house. We send the kid off for 24 hours and we will go through the entire house. We will just declutter. And then 2 weeks later, we have a garage sale. And then we just go out to dinner or have something fun. But it's like every 6 months, we just do a rage purge real quick because it doesn't require a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And like this weekend is our garage sale. So we'll just get it all done. And it's 2 weeks. So, but yeah, we can find stuff now. I didn't realize before we started doing this that clutter was stressing us out. I have anxiety. My husband has anxiety. Things sitting out stresses us out. I did not realize that. And that was a huge like eye opener in the past, probably in the past 6 months.
Yeah. And I mean, with the toddler, you're always going to have more stuff. I mean, they bring stuff in daily.
Oh yeah. And I constantly get rid of it.
Yeah. But it's like the tide is coming in every day. Yep. Tide goes in, trash goes out, tide comes in.
Oh yeah.
Like you are on a 20-year cycle there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's as soon as he outgrows something, it goes to somebody at daycare that has a kid that's slowly or like a year behind him. Because yeah, it doesn't, we all just swap clothes and swap toys around the neighborhood and you know, it is what it is. You just go, okay, yeah, that was money. No big deal. Somebody else can use it. So
what do you think you have more of now?
Just mental bandwidth to have fun, to go on day trips, to, you know, we were so worried about trying to keep the house up and trying to keep this up and work and just basically we were just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck. And now it's just like, okay, I know this piece of spaghetti is going to stick. So I'm going to throw that one up. And it's not just grabbing a bunch of it. And so it's like the mental bandwidth to know what I want and what we want as a family versus doing everything.
Yeah.
So like, even with the holidays coming up, we decided, I'm like, okay, you know, I was talking to my husband, I'm like, okay, you want to do the same thing every year? Do you want to rotate every other year? So 1 year we go to one pumpkin patch and the next year we go to this and then the next year we go back. So every other year we go to a pumpkin patch, but it's a different one. Oh. So that way we don't get bored either.
Yeah. So you're going to have A, B holidays?
Yeah, we are. And the funny thing is now that you say that is my grandfather's married 5 times. So we had all these ex-wives that we had to visit during Christmas and all this other stuff. And so every other holiday, Thanksgiving or Christmas, he would either come up to Kansas or we would go down to Kentucky. So yeah, I've always kind of been on an A-B schedule, yeah. Which is funny now that you mention it, but
we probably all are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't realize it. We don't label it.
Yeah.
We don't label it. Yeah.
But when you label it, then you can be like, oh, okay. Then if that's really what we're doing, okay, well then if it's B year, then that's also the year that we do Christmas carols and we do the live nativity and whatever. And when it's B, then we do this, that, and the other thing. Like, and cause you do try to do everything every year.
Yeah.
And it's expensive and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But you don't want to not do it. So yeah, I love that idea. I'm gonna have to toy with that before we do the holiday blitz.
Well, and like I said, I have everything planned out from now until the end of the year. Cause I really take what you have to say and I'm like, okay, she's saying this, she's projecting this out. So, okay, I need to think this way and start, what am I going to do for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever? My in-laws and my family thinks I'm crazy for thinking like, I'm like, okay, I know it's early, but let's talk about Christmas gifts. Because I know there's going to be shortage.
I'm telling you, maybe too late already by the time you listen to this.
Well, and that's why it's like, you know, and that last year they were like, you always do it early. I'm like, I know this is early, but let's talk. I'm like, because Lisa says there's going to be a shortage.
Well, the president's saying it, so it's not even just me anymore. Well,
no, but even last year and all that.
What do you think you have less of besides stuff?
Stress, anxiety. And people are like, when I was trying to, my best friend, Maria, she has a son that's 4 months younger than mine. And she was expecting her second. I'm like, dude, you need to get a Sunday basket. And she goes,
here's your baby shower gift.
You need one. And she's like, I don't know if we do it. And Greta came and she got it. She goes, how did we do this before? But yeah, I'm like, my brain is now in that box. Yes. And I don't have to, I do a data dump. I don't have to think about it. If I need it, I know it's there. And that's the great thing. And I try to replicate my phone. Like I have a Sunday basket icon folder on my phone. So all the little icons that I need. And I even, I think I've done a couple of videos in your all access group on the, you know, the random stuff you get during the year, like, Christmas pillows at garage sale or something.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I can't put them in the Christmas stuff because the Christmas stuff is an attic. So I have bins that correspond to your years, your quarters. And I chuck them in there.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
So there's a video in All Access, that I actually show chucking stuff in there. And I have another video. I have another video I need to do for home ops and home reference stuff that I came up with this past weekend.
So you just make a Sunday basket folder and then you put all the apps that you use every Sunday in the folder on your phone. That is brilliant.
Yeah. Cause then I just go right down the row and those are not just, it's like banking and HSA and,
subscriptions and
yeah, anything and everything. I would only need that once a week. I put it in there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really, and I'm really hit and miss on the planners. I get your planners. I'm really hit and missing if I use them or not. I'm just not a, you know, I'm just really hit and miss.
But you've said already that you are all access, which is not inexpensive. Everyone tells me, but you're not doing the 100 day, the way the 100 day is done. And you're also telling me you're not using the planner the way it's used or if at all, but you still find value in all of this stuff.
I'm a big believer in micro habits. I probably shouldn't have done this and I don't recommend this, but I bought All Access and I didn't tell my husband. Cause I was in charge of everything and, you know, being the new dad, he was just like, just kind of everywhere. And I was just like, I cannot do this all. So I just was like, we're done. And we had an itsy business at the same time. So, and we were both working full time and had a newborn. So, you know, it was a complete disaster. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. But yeah, no, I take little bits and pieces.
And I think because it's lifetime access, did you get all access with photos or the kids program?
Kids.
Okay. So I would guess that you're actually going to do the 100 day program when your son is like 5. And that's probably when you're going to set up more like things where he can get his dishes and his plates and like, because
he already does that.
Because the other reason is because you're not around all these other 20-year-olds also having babies at this time. So it's not like you're naturally seeing this in other people's kitchens. Your friends' kitchens have China in them and yours is not going to have China.
Well, and the funny thing is we got rid of our China before we even had him. I was like, I don't need it. I don't use it. It's my first marriage. No, let's get rid of it. And so I actually broke them all. Anyways, I digress.
I think, and this is why we have moved the 100 day program into All Access. And now it's just an All Access offering is because we try to make organizational decisions, purchasing decisions based on specific organizational problems that we see today. Mm-hmm. But what I know is in your life of being an organized, moving into a highly productive person, you're going to hit everything that's in All Access. And like you said, you're buying the income and expense binder, even though you don't need it. So you have it when you need it. Exactly. Because when you need it is when you're motivated and you're like, oh, I've never been in that folder. Oh, all right. I know that's over in that box. I'm going to go grab it out and I'm going to use it right now. And then it is part of being an organized and productive person is you have all your tools available to you when you need them.
Right. And I will watch all the videos like Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll sit down and maybe I'll watch all the videos you have for that week. Mm-hmm. And I'll just let it absorb because I can't think about it. It won't process into what I really need it to do efficiently until I let it simmer for a couple of days.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you'll probably end up doing the tests sometime during those rage purges, but you won't realize that that's where you got, you know, like you'll just do it because your brain's like, oh, this is how this goes now.
Yeah. Well, another day I heard somebody say, oh, we're doing civil war. I'm like, oh, yeah, we could probably get rid of the baby bottles now. You know, it was one of these like, okay, yeah. So I read all this stuff and I absorb it. And then when I see it in the kitchen, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. That's got to go. Or, you know, let's try this or that. Or, you know, our son now, people are like, he cleans up. I'm like, yeah, I'm his mother, not his cleaner, you know, not his maid. Ooh. Yeah, I'm his mother, not his maid. And so he gets his plate out and he gets his cup and he pours his own milk. We have a little, is Abby doing formula?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a little Dr. Brown's formula mixer?
We don't. We have the Avent bottles, but just the little pitcher with the mixer in it. I use a Pamper Chef one. Same thing.
Use that for toddlers to pour milk because they can't, it won't dump the milk. And we only put like a quarter milk in there and he can pour. It's because it's only like this big.
Yeah.
It is.
Writing it down.
Yeah. My husband found it at one of his retail sales and he was going to resell it. And I'm like, no, this is like the perfect size for our son. So we call our son Austin, but he's also Aussie. So
cute.
So yeah, he pours his milk and if he spills it, it's like 4 ounces. So it's not like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then we make him clean it up.
What do you wish you had known sooner?
Oh, I really wish I'd found this earlier. Like this would have made just life, even as a single person, so much easier.
How would have made life as a single person even easier?
Well, your adulting binder, your launch binder, that would have been phenomenal in college. And just, I see this stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I could have really used that in college or the first apartment or, you know, I bought it. My first job, I traveled internationally. So I bought a house when I was sitting in Germany. So how in the world did I pull that off, you know, and not have any of these tools 20 years ago, you know? How in the world did that happen? So anyways, it just would have made things more streamlined.
Yeah. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
Start very small. Don't try to do everything at once. Go where your energy is.
Yes.
My energy was the binders. So I just loosely threw everything into the binders. And then now I'm going through a little bit more detailed, but yeah, just, you're always going to be updating everything. Nothing's ever finished. It's a constant, you know, updating and reviewing and just small habits. Honestly, I don't even do the Sunday basket for an hour and a half every week. I do a short version. I have an A version and I have a B version. My A version is 10 minutes. And that is sorting through is like anything that's like urgently needs to be paid or anything else. If it's not, it goes all back in the basket and I deal with it next week.
Well, I would definitely say that my Sunday basket, the 4 weeks of the month have a different amount of times each week of the month. Like almost all of my bills are due in the middle of the month. So that's my longest time, but the end of the month, 10 minutes and I'm through my Sunday basket, but the middle of the month, it could take 2 hours.
I think that's where a lot of people get hung up at. They think it's an hour and a half every single week and I have to do it on Sunday and I have to do it when the club is meeting. Yeah. I just threw all that out of the window and just is like, it doesn't fit my life right now.
And I think, you know, you made the investment and you went all in and got everything shipped to you and all access. And I think that making the investment is the first decision. But so often we're used to when we make big investments like that, that we have to immediately reap the rewards of those investments quickly, or we have to show an amazing amount of progress in order to validate the amount of money that we've paid. And it's like you bought a 4-year college degree, you made the payment, but you've got 4 years to implement everything and learn. And so I think that I am all about micro improvements as well and establishing habits because everything in your life is based on habits. And these are all the tools that you need. But there's no reason that you should put that stress on yourself that you're going to implement it all in a week, a month, or even a year. Like you have lifetime access. Like listen to the lifetime access part as you listen to the complete part.
And the funny thing, people are like, well, you've been doing this. You really get this. I'm like, yeah, but this is not something that Like, you have to physically really do the Sunday basket for 6 weeks before you can really start doing an A version of it. It's right. not, you can't immediately just jump in and do an A version. And that's what I told Mari. I'm like, you need to start really slow. Just do the 1.0, start to get that down and then add to it. And I'm like, because it's all going to implode if you try to do everything at once.
Yes.
And I kept telling her, I'm like, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
I've been doing this for over a year and I'm now getting to where everything's starting to click. Because honestly, a year ago when I first met with Monique, she was like, you should do this. And I'm like, I don't have enough of the system yet. I'm not there mentally yet. Yeah. And now all the puzzle pieces are coming together and I can see how everything corresponds. But yeah, I'm all in the workbox, the planning days, everything you offer, except the certified organizing thing.
Well, keep telling me how I'm doing these Agile and PI and all these other things that I'm doing that I don't realize I'm doing. That just fascinates me. It is truly breaking things down.
And you were talking about your marketing meeting, how you were, and I was like, you're prioritizing work and you don't even realize you're doing it. And that's what we do.
I also think that when you spend time planning and thinking proactively, these are natural concepts, but we're so used to running on the hamster wheel that no one takes long enough to think about what we're doing, which is when these Agile PI people who created all these systems probably sat there and were like, okay, this is how I do it. And I'm going to teach it to you. It's just like the Sunday basket is not rocket science. Like other people have a Sunday planning system. Yeah. I just color coded my slash packets a certain way so I could teach it to you so that you could replicate it. But it's not like no one's ever thought of planning on Sunday, or no one's ever thought about thinking about your house like a business, or no one's ever thought of the kind of work you do at home. It's just the way it is. I took enough time to think about it to present it in a way that I could teach it. And so it really is being able to just think, time to just think. Yeah. And these order is all around you. Like, I love that book, the 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. And that when you look in nature, everything has an 80-20 rule.
Oh yeah, definitely.
80% of the traffic is on 20% of the roads. But when you go on those 20% of the roads, 80% of the traffic is on 20% of those roads. So really, like, 86% of the traffic or 96% of the traffic is on 4% of the roads. But if you look at a tree, like, tree branches do 80-20. Like, it is a natural, it's a nature property that we've put into business. So it makes sense that as you become more organized and more productive, all these productivity systems have a lot of similarities, because productivity is a natural thing that comes from organization.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. And it's the same thing, the rule of threes, or the rule of odds.
Yes. You
know, everything's in odds. It's like, well, I don't know how many we knew. Okay, just pick an odd number and then we'll be good. Okay.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, Holland, it's been so nice getting to know you and talking to you. Thank you for being a guest on the Wednesday podcast.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.